Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour, a ministry of Mission Go. I'm Brian Albrecht, the President Emeritus and Director of Canada's National Bible Hour, and we are trying to reach the world for Jesus Christ. And Canada's National Bible Hour is one of our ministries to share the good news of the gospel around the world.
Today's scripture reading is from the book of Psalms 98, verse 2, which says, "The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen." Here we have this wonderful verse, actually a missionary verse, that tells us that God's work on the cross, Jesus' work as he died for the sins of mankind, that brings salvation when we receive him as our Lord and Savior, is available to everyone, even to the heathen. And so it has the idea of worldwide missions where we have the Great Commission, where we need to share the gospel with the world, with every person that's alive today. And so I'm so glad that we're part of Global Outreach Mission, because we're now in 57 countries and we're able to share the gospel with those who are in such darkness in those countries. What a great privilege it is today to share the gospel with our friends and with our relatives and with people around the world.
Good day, thank you for joining our Moments from the Mission Field, with interviews and stories about how the Lord's work is reaching out globally through the agency of Mission Go. If you, your friends from church, or family members are interested in more information about short-term or career ministry opportunities, or seeking someone to come to your church, or a group to speak about international missions, please call 866-483-5787 in Canada or 888-900-5048 in the United States, or on the web visit www.missiongo.org, so we can share more information.
With our couple from Haiti, the St. Fars, and let's pick it up on a discussion which is much on people's mind. And that's the unrest that you're facing in your country.
Thank you for this question. My wife and I, we came back to Haiti, and it was the most difficult time in our lives. And it is the most challenging time in the history of the country as well. So graduated from Dallas Theological Seminary, and we felt the need to come because we know that we can have peace where God wants us to be, and we can have joy when we are doing what he wants us to do. So that's how we came back, But when we came, it was difficult for us to go even to the streets because people were being killed. As a matter of fact, people are still being killed. Time, the gas crisis, even to go to the seminary to teach the word of God is a big challenge. So these things, they prevented us in some ways to continue to do the ministry that God called us to do. I would say, in addition to that, we had an electricity crisis as well. At home, we didn't have electricity, and the electricity of the states, you hardly see it. So these are some of the challenges that we're facing. And we thank God that despite all of these things, we keep doing what He called us to do.
And then whenever I am facing something that I feel it's a big challenge, I have to remind myself that my Redeemer lives, and because of that, I can count for tomorrow.
Yeah, so there's another thing that is a big challenge right now. Even if you want to go to some places to preach the gospel, you cannot because there are some places that are very dangerous in the dark, and they are kidnapping people a lot. And they have been entering in churches to kidnap people as well. And that pastor, the day they kidnapped him, my wife and I, we were in the area where they kidnapped him because we went to a church to preach. And it is when we came back in the afternoon, we heard on the news that he's been kidnapped on the same place where we went in the morning. So it's a very challenging situation for which we need a lot of.
Now, I'm so thankful because it doesn't prevent us to do what we can in our corner. And in our neighborhood, we host a Bible study with the girls, the teenagers. And thank God, three of us, we just encourage them because what is happening right now can be so scary for them. But we just want to encourage them to keep believing because God has put them here for one reason, for our reason, so we have to continue to encourage them.
Yeah. How can I share with the audience about your current need and what we can do to best support you in your physical need?
I think one of the needs that we have right now is prayer. So we always have this need. So prayer, we would appreciate your prayers for boldness, for the Lord's guidance in what we are presenting in class, the way that we are modeling the gospel, the way that we are motivating our students, the way that we are following the steps of God so that they can follow us as we are following our master. And another need is that we are working in Haiti as missionaries. And we don't have a lot of supporters. So this is something that we are praying about. We are trying to contact people in order to become the monthly partners in order to support us.
This month, we are offering a booklet by Dr. David Jeremiah. It is titled Promises for the Overcomer. Dr. Jeremiah speaks of 8 essential guarantees for spiritual victory. We will see spiritual victories as we realize the truth in the book of John, where Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that you may have peace in me. You will have tribulation in the world, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Dr. David Jeremiah says, "As a disciple of Jesus Christ, you also have overcome the world. You are an overcomer. That means you can live in light of the victory God has already won on your behalf and choose to walk in that victory every day. This booklet will guide you through 8 blessings God has promised for those who live as overcomers. Please write to us today for a copy of your Promises for the Overcomer. To order your copy of Promises for the Overcomer, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box, St. Catharines, Ontario. Postal code 27RANZA7 or in the U.S. Box 21, Buffalo, New York 143. Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour, where we wish to bless your life with these messages. This is a listener-supported program, and we would not be on the air without the support of our listeners. If you have any more questions about messages or information on this broadcast, you can email Tammy Campbell at tjcampbellmissiongo.org or feel free to write to Tammy directly. As the producer of this broadcast,
Today's message is from Reverend Art Larson, and his printed copies are available upon request.
Jane was only 7 years old when she visited a shabby street in a nearby town and, seeing ragged children there, announced that she wanted to build a big house so poor children would have a place to play. As a young adult, Jane and a friend, Ellen Starr, visited Toynbee Hall in London, where they saw educated people helping the poor by living among them. She and Ellen returned to the slums of Chicago, restored the old Hull mansion, and moved in. There they cared for children of working mothers and held sewing and cooking classes. Older boys and girls had clubs at the mansion. An art gallery, a playground, public music, reading, and craft rooms were created in the mansion. Her childhood dream came true. Jane fought against child labor laws and campaigned for adult education, day nurseries, better housing, and women's suffrage. She eventually was awarded an honorary degree from Yale University and was called America's Most Useful Citizen by the then President, Theodore Roosevelt. She was also given the Nobel Prize for Peace. But no matter how famous she became, however, Jane Addams remained a resident at Hull House. She died a resident of Halsted Street in the heart of the slum that she had come to call home. Our hearts are touched when we realize the sacrifice such a person made, and others have been doing it, to reach the poor and the helpless and the lonely and the sick and the sorrowing, and to stoop to live among them in order to minister to them. How much more, then, in the passage of Scripture we're studying in Philippians chapter 2, how much more, I say, is it when we consider that our great God so loved us that in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus, he left the glories of heaven and came to this sin-cursed world, to this poverty place, and lived among us and shared his love and reached out with compassion to care and to heal and to console and to encourage and to strengthen and to reach, and then to die on the cross for our sins, to become our Savior, that we might be forgiven and be with him in heaven forevermore. That's what this passage of Scripture amazingly teaches us in Philippians 2, And Paul is pleading that this mind might be in us that is in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. In telling the Philippian Christians this, the Apostle Paul explained the kind of attitude that characterized the Lord Jesus. Although as to his form, verse 6, he was God, he did not consider it something to be grasped in order to maintain the glory he had with the Father. But as verse 7 says, and we're studying that today, made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. The phrase, made himself of no reputation, is literally, he emptied himself. The emptying of himself was the opposite of grasping after what he had in the presence of the Father, independent exercise of authority and the free expression of his attributes. Thus it could be said that he made himself of no reputation. Instead, he took upon him the form of a servant. The same word form, morphe in the Greek, that we used in verse 6 is here in verse 7. As to his inner essence, he was God, but upon his choice to come to earth, he took on also the inner essence of a servant and the outward appearance of a servant. The word Paul used for servant was the common word in New Testament times for slave. What a contrast. Jesus Christ gave up the highest glory imaginable, a position of complete independence, and took the lowest position thinkable. A servant or a slave is one who has no will of his own but is entirely subjected to serving the will of another. Jesus Christ came to earth to do the will of his Father, and at the end of his earthly life was able to say to the Father, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. John 17:4. The love of the Lord Jesus for fallen man is indicated by the fact he would not have had to give up his position in glory. He wouldn't have had to take on the form of a servant. He could have insisted on his own right to retain the glory he had with the Father. This is exactly the point Paul is making here in Philippians. Although it was the right of the Lord Jesus to retain this position he had with the Father, he willingly gave it up for others, for you and me, the likes of us, poor, lost, hell-deserving sinners. In being willing to give up his position of glory, the Lord Jesus was made in the likeness of men. These words reveal his identification with mankind, for his appearance was similar. He lived here. He walked among us. And because of that, he knows and he loves and he cares. And that's why the Bible says he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Wherever you are today, whatever your problem may be, whatever your heartache is, whatever your sin is, whatever your sorrow is, whatever your need is, Jesus Christ cares. It says he suffered in all points like we are, except he was sinless. We're sinful, but he was sinless. Therefore, we can come to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help us in the time of our need. We're talking about God being man, Christ coming and taking a human form, deity stepping into it. Humanity, heaven emptying itself of its greatest treasure, investing itself in earth, Christ accepting the privilege and responsibility of humbling himself and coming down to this earth. He accepted the servant's place. He entered this sinful world. He adopted a selfless position. Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This is beautifully portrayed for us in John chapter 13, a familiar story. Let me share it with you. The disciples are gathered together for a meal with Jesus, and it was customary in those days in the hot, dusty, dry climate for someone to wash people's feet as they came in. This was an act of the slave, an act of servitude, but it was a necessary service, and evidently there wasn't a slave or servant present at this gathering. The obvious thing was for one of the followers of Jesus to decide, well, okay, I'll do it. I'll do it for you. You do it for me. But unfortunately, none of them were prepared to do that. And so I would guess they all sat and looked at each other and waited to see who would make the first move. Who would take his robe off, gird himself with a towel, get that vase and fill it with water, kneel down in front of his friends and pick up their feet and wash them. Well, none of them was willing. But to their amazement, the Lord Jesus Christ got up from dinner, took off his robe, got hold of a towel, girded himself with that towel, filled a basin full of water, knelt at the first disciple, who happened to be Simon Peter, took hold of his foot, and Simon Peter said, "What do you think you're doing?" Jesus said, "I'm going to wash your feet, Peter." And Peter said, you're not going to wash me. And Jesus said, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. And Peter said, well, then wash all of me. And Jesus answered, I don't need to wash all of you. You have been cleansed. You just need to have your feet washed. And here we have the remarkable illustration of the Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly humility, that he humbled himself. He took off his outer robe, demonstrating the fact he laid aside the trappings of deity. He girded himself with a towel, illustrating the fact he accepted the servant's place. He knelt in front of his inferiors, demonstrating how much he loved them. And then he picked up their feet and washed them, showing how far he can stoop to demonstrate this love. And you know what's strange when you think about the Lord Jesus Christ? So many people say he was the greatest man who ever lived, or at least one of the greatest who ever lived. He certainly, in my opinion, was the greatest who ever lived. But he was the God-man. For some strange reason, people deny all the principles that made him great. You see, we live in a humanistic society which says me first, and man is made into a god, as it were. We deny the principles that made Jesus great. You see, he never did any of the things we say you have to do if you're going to be great. In fact, he flatly contradicted the things we insist you've got to do if you're going to be great. The Lord Jesus said it beautifully when he said in Matthew 23:11, he that is going to be greatest among you has got to learn to be a servant. Why is it that people say Jesus Christ was the greatest man, and yet they deny and reject all the principles of his existence, his humility, his abandonment of self, his desire to serve, the willingness to bow the knee and wash his disciples' feet? Why aren't we prepared to have the same mind and same attitude? This is why the world is in such a mess. Everybody sticks up for their own rights. Everybody insists on being their own person, wants to do their own thing. Everybody does what's right in their own eyes. Everybody insists on being number one, wants everybody else to accept them as that. We've got a world populated by people doing their own thing. Everyone does that which is right in their own eyes, and no one is prepared to take the first step to humble themselves and make themselves available to others instead of expecting others to be available to them. This happens as it spills over into our marriage relationships. No wonder we're in trouble in the home. The idea is, what are you going to do for me? Instead of, what can I do for you? That's why Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Why don't we try being great his way? We would accept a servant's place instead of wanting to be boss. We would be prepared to enter into a sinful world instead of trying to keep away from it all and just condemn and reject and criticize it. We would adopt a selfless position instead of just being interested in my own thing, filling my life with number one. Instead, Jesus Christ would be totally supreme in my life and in your life. And we would find great joy in that and great liberty in that. But you know, that's what the gospel is all about. Jesus had to come and had to lay aside, as it were, all that he had with the Father, take upon himself a human form, be made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, humble himself. He, God in human flesh, humbling himself as a man. Why? Because he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Without it, you and I could never be saved. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. For by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You see, if you're going to be saved, if you're going to become one of Jesus Christ's followers, disciples, committed to him, if you're going to become a child of God, fitted for heaven, you have to humble yourself. You have to acknowledge you're a sinner. You have to bow your knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and humbled himself here to be your Savior. And you have to admit and confess and turn from, repent of your sin and receive him. And then allow him to have total control of your life. Let his mind, his attitude of life be yours by the Holy Spirit within you, and live a life of sacrifice and service to him, humbling yourself to reach out to others in need. Probably one of the greatest missionaries that ever lived was David Livingstone. Listen as I quote from him. He says, People talk of the sacrifice I have made in spending so much of my life in Africa. Can that be called a sacrifice which is simply paid back as a small part of a great debt owing to our God, which we could never repay? Is that a sacrifice which brings its own blessed reward in healthful activity, consciousness of doing good, peace of mind, and a bright hope of a glorious destiny hereafter? Away with the word in such a view and with such a thought. It is emphatically no sacrifice. Say rather, it is a privilege. Anxiety, sickness, suffering, danger now and then, with a foregoing of common conveniences and charities of this life, may make us pause and cause the spirit to waver and the soul to sink, but let this only be for a moment. All of these are nothing when compared with the glory which shall hereafter be revealed in and for us. I never made a sacrifice, says David Livingstone. Of this we ought not to talk when we remember the great sacrifice, the greatest sacrifice, which he made who left his Father's throne on high to give himself for us, who being the brightness of his Father's glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, purged our sins, and then sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. My friend, today, in view of who Jesus is, he is God. In view of what he did, humbled himself, became your servant to suffer your sins and take your place on the cross. In view of who he is and what he's done, and who he is today, highly exalted, as we'll see in our next study, and coming back again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, isn't it about time you got off the throne of your life and humbled yourself in his presence and received him as your Savior and Lord? And if you've done that, isn't it about time you began to sacrifice and serve him humbly? Begin today, my friend. That's the way of the cross. It's the only way. God help you to do it.
Word of God that you just heard will make a great impact in your life. Here at Canada's National Bible Hour, we're very concerned about people listening to our broadcast who have never received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. There's only two destinies for people after death. One is to go and be in the presence of Christ in heaven. The other is a place that's not so pleasant, and it's a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, as the Scripture describes. The gospel is very clear. Man is a sinner, and he needs a Savior. We've all done wrong, and because of that, we can't get into God's presence because he's a holy God. He's without defect. He's perfect. And he can't be in the presence of sinful. He can't be in the presence of sinners. And so the only way that man had any hope of getting back to God was that God had to do something on his own. And so God sent his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to earth. He lived a sinless life. His goal was to go to the cross and die for each and every one of our sins on that cross. And he bore our sins in his own body as he hung on that tree. He died and he rose again on the third day. And basically it's an act of faith. You need to realize that you're a sinner and you need saving. You need grace. And you can do that by asking Jesus Christ to come into your life. And the Bible promises that if you're sincere in making that decision, that you will have a new life in Christ. Your sins will be forgiven. You'll be able to come into God's presence, and you'll be able to pray, and you'll be able to walk with him. And we encourage you to read the Word of God, because that's the only way that you can grow in your faith and grow closer to God and allow him to speak to you through his Word. You can write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. You can also get previous broadcasts on our website at www.missiongo.org. That's www.missiongo.org. And I trust that God will bless you mightily this week.